Some of the most successful writers have experienced the dread of the blank page, writer's block. A new book called The Midnight Disease considers how the wiring of the brain may affect writer's block and its opposite, hypergraphia, the driving compulsion to write. Many well-known writers have had that condition, too. The author of The Midnight Disease says hypergraphia can range from a mild obsession with writing to a debilitating mental disorder, NPR's Renee Montaigne reports.
The Midnight Disease is an expression first used by Edgar Allan Poe. It conjures up a writer hunched over a desk in the middle of the night, writing, 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 unable to stop. As a neurologist at Massachusetts General Hospital, author Alice Flaherty has seen those afflicted with hypergraphia, and she has a personal connection. 5 years ago, Alice Flaherty suddenly found herself in the clutches of hypergraphia after experiencing a truly terrible loss.
I was pregnant with twins right after my residency, and then delivered them prematurely, and they both died. I was very, very sad and full of grief. And then the 10th day, I woke up and everything was changed. The whole world was different. Suddenly, I was full of ideas and I had to write them down. Mostly stuff that was gibberish except to me for about 4 months. In the middle of the night, I would wake up and I wrote on tiny, tiny Post-its and stuck them all over the wall. My husband, who has been incredibly, you know, supportive and tolerant, said that's when he knew that I was really sick, that not only was I writing, but I wouldn't even write on normal-sized Post-its. It was these tiny ones.
And you say gibberish just to you, but, you know, what did you write?
It was, you know, two or three word sentences at the most. Very free association, disorganized. But at the same time, that's where most of the ideas come from that are in this book. And so even at the time, I was writing down, you know, very speculative theories of what was going on.
At the beginning of your second chapter, you quote Herman Melville from Moby Dick. And it's an amazing description of what, in a way, sounds like happened to you. He writes, "Unconsciously, my chirography expands into placard capitals. Give me a condor's quill. Give me Vesuvius crater for an inkstand. Friends, hold my arms."
That's what it feels like. Now, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you feel like you're being forced, slammed into your chair. I mean, by some muse like that's got these huge muscles. And you don't have a choice.
Well, for someone who can write, like Robert Louis Stevenson, who you write, put down 60,000 words in 6 days on cocaine, and that became the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, it works.
Right, but it's that key thing for someone who can write, because not everyone who's hypergraphic is necessarily talented. Now, I think it actually helps to want to write. I mean, there's actually a lot of evidence that motivation is way more important than underlying talent or IQ in doing creative work, because the more you work at something, the more you practice, you know, the more likely you are to think up good ideas.
Robert Louis Stevenson, Jack Kerouac, tales abound of writers inducing hypergraphia with drugs. Most sufferers are at the mercy of their brain and its chemistry. Hypergraphia, writes Alice Flaherty, can be associated with problems in a particular part of the brain, the temporal lobe. One kind of epilepsy arises in the temporal lobe. It's sometimes known as Dostoevsky syndrome. The writer's spells of altered consciousness, feelings of doom and ecstasy, and an overpowering need to write epitomize this form of epilepsy.
Unlike the movement areas of the body where you might fall down and shake, in the temporal lobe you get emotional symptoms, you get the need to speak, or sometimes, for instance, what's called a Christmas morning feeling of excitement, you know, in the pit of your stomach before you run downstairs, things like that. But probably the major problem that we think of as brain-based for hypergraphia is manic depression or bipolar disorder. It's something that afflicts many very successful writers and other creative people, especially poets. There are some studies that argue that up to 70% of poets have at least mild bipolar traits.
Again, reading this is so fascinating because it seems like if you wanted to be a creative writer, you'd almost beg for hypergraphia. You know, I mean, most people look at a piece of white paper and decide they've got to dust the shelves or something because it's frightening. But people who have hypergraphia embrace it.
A couple of issues come up with that. One is that when you're severely mentally ill, it's a very, very painful and life-threatening state. It actually very much hinders your ability to write. And Sylvia Plath once said, "When you're ill, that's all you are. basically that she didn't get any writing done when she was at her worst. I guess the question would be, though, do all creative people have to be at least a little mentally ill? To the extent that you probably do have to be obsessed with what you're working on, at least to some degree, maybe the answer is yes, except is it really fair to call somebody who's obsessed with their work mentally ill? Now, often the spouse will say yes.
Let's talk about one final thing, that sort of sense that writers talk about having access to a certain, if you will, divine moment of inspiration.
The experience of writing well, at least for me, once I started to get hypergraphic, really was very religious, and I was never a religious person before. And that's when I started thinking, again, as a neuroscientist, what's with that, you know? And that experience very clearly has a temporal lobe base. Temporal lobe epileptics often get feelings of religious visitations before seizures. There are a number of other arguments for why the feeling of voices coming from outside you is from the temporal lobe. Now, this is not in any way to say that God is just an illusion of certain types of electrical stimulation. It's just saying this is the part of the brain that mediates these experiences. It's very powerful.
So how did you, in the end, you were hypergraphic, and then you harnessed that power or tamed it to the degree that you've written this book, for instance?
A lot of it was using the right medications, and it did take a while to figure out what they were. And finally, I mean, the way the story ended up was I did have a second pregnancy, and it turned out to be a second set of twins. And these twins, although they were premature, actually are very healthy and alive. And I guess people sometimes ask me, oh, you know, what's it like now that you're cured and everything? And I certainly am better controlled, but what I'm hoping is that I will never actually be cured.
Neurologist Alice Flaherty is the author of The Midnight Disease. As part of her practice, Dr. Flaherty treats patients with writing disorders. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.